Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Ben, 38, that is 38 days, 19 hours, and 59 minutes until the Century Tournament of Champions. Yes, indeed. In meantime, around the world, we've got the Japan Tour, the Casino World Open, the Ladies European Tour, Andalusia Open de España, Asian Tour, the Blue Canyon Championship, and the DP World Tour. Whoa. The DP World Tour. I mean, just when I was going to say that, I'll be talking with a lot of folks this morning, starting off the show with Ron Cyrak. And the plan with Ron was to do a 2021 year in review, kind of the good, the bad, the ugly, and things to be thankful for on this Thanksgiving weekend. And then the ugly kind of broke on Thursday. The Omicron variant confirmed in South Africa, the UK, Hong Kong, possibly Belgium, Netherlands, Germany, Czech Republic. Borders are closing and golf tournaments are canceled or shortened. Yes, in South Africa, there are professional golfers looking to catch a flight home to the UK before the quarantine goes into effect. And they have to spend 10 days in a hotel room instead of being at home, which, of course, is the best way to spend quarantine. The Joburg Open, the first of the newly renamed DP World Tour, shortened to 54 holes so as not to penalize those who have to fly. And the three spots into the Open will be qualifying for the Open still. So that's nice to know. So why don't we get right into the show? We're going to have Robert Ray calling in from Maui, Dr. Brian Paxton, physical therapist, manual spine therapist. He's the owner of Restoration Spine and Sport Restoration Golf. Lauren Yama, director of communications, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, as we get ready for the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions. Oliver Oluquiano, president, CEO, Island Pacific Golf Academy, U.S. Kids Golf, of course, master coach too, and Ron Cyrak, golf writer, author, senior golf writer in the past for Golf World. He was the executive editor, golf writer for the Associated Press. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service, that's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, member Western Pennsylvania Golf Association Hall of Fame, Peach of America, Lifetime Achievement in Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, wow, author, Vision 54 Trilogy with Lynn Marriott and Pia Nelson. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Aloha, Danielle. Thanks for having me on again.
Absolutely. You know, the world is again, kind of shaken by this. The markets certainly were shaken by the new variant and so much changed at the Joburg Open, what was going to be a kind of a celebration of the DP World Tour. Your thoughts on how we're going to be reacting to this new situation?
Yeah, you know, just when we thought we had turned this corner and we were going to have, and that 2022 was going to be a return to normalcy, we have this pop up, and the last I saw, more than a dozen players left the tournament in South Africa early to get back to Britain before the borders got closed to flights coming in from South Africa. So we're back in that situation again. You know, something that the LPGA Player of the Year, Jin Young Ko, had to spend most of 2020 in quarantine in South Korea, and a good chunk of 2021, and it was remarkable that she had five wins, and they were all from July on, you know. Hopefully we'll hope there have been other variants that have popped up that have turned out not to be as bad as they feared. Hopefully this will be that case.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. And we have this period of time to sort of work our way through it into the holidays, you know. The LPGA is not playing. The PGA Tour is not playing. So many different, but so many tours around the world are still, this is a big part of their season. When we look back at this year, would you say, you know, the COVID situation or getting out of it and getting the tour back on track, all the tours, was the story of the year?
Yeah, you know, I think that all of golf, all of the tours around the world really handled the pandemic situation quite well, the LPGA especially well. They were among the most cautious of all sports organizations. They were one of the first to shut down in 2020. And when they came back with very, very, very strict protocols. And you can see they had very few disruptions of outbreaks at any of their events. And I do think the fact that golf, which might be the most global of all sports, was able to get back to something closely resembling normalcy in 2021 was a huge win for the game and a huge win for all the professional tours.
Yeah, it truly. Watching the Asian Tour, the LET Tour, two of my favorites this time of year, the new negotiated TV deals that we've been talking about for, I don't know, it seems like years, will they be showing more changes? Will we see more of these tournaments all the year round rather than just when the other larger tours aren't in action?
I think we are going to see more of that. And we haven't seen, and this concerns me a little bit, we haven't seen a whole lot of details about what the new TV contract is exactly going to look like in terms of women's golf. And you're absolutely right. We've been waiting for this for a long time. Both the PGA Tour and the LPGA's TV contracts were negotiated more than a decade ago. And a lot of the, you know, every time there'd be criticism of the LPGA getting bumped to delayed tape or not being covered at all, we would always say, you know, well, wait for the new TV contract and this will change. And I do think it's going to change. I do think that people who write the checks are starting to realize that the LPGA in particular and women's golf in general is an extremely undervalued product, and the opportunities to capitalize on that are there. I mean, look at the CME Group Tour Championship. Rarely in any sport does an event turn out to be better than anticipated. And this one was. I mean, it exceeded expectations. We had a battle for play of the year between Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda, and they were both there right to the end. We ended up with not only Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda in the top 10, but also Nasa Hataoka, who's probably the best player without a major championship, Lydia Ko, who's definitely, definitely back, and Lexi Thompson, who remains an enigma out there, but they were also all in the top 10. A hugely, hugely, hugely entertaining tournament.
It was, absolutely. And one of the things that I am grateful for in this past year is seeing our American golfers, Nelly Korda, Lexi Thompson, coming back and performing against some of the South Korean players who have been so dominant the last 3 years or maybe longer than that. So having some contention like we did, Nelly Korda being 10 points ahead of Jin Young Ko. Jin Young Ko has a wrist injury, but she fights through it. I mean, that was grit all the way. Nelly Korda knowing that after winning the week before, it was going to be a challenge at the CME Group Championship. So a lot of this playing out in front of us, and again, seeing not just the top Koreans, the top Americans, but players from around the world really contending, that is super exciting, and it sets us up for the terrific tournaments, not just Solheim, but the Crown We haven't had that on in how long?
Yeah, well, it missed, let's see, I guess it was 18 was the last time. Yeah, because it was supposed to be in 20. You know, you look at it, and there's not a paper's width of difference between Jin Young Ko and Nelly Korda. Jin Young ends up being the LPGA Player of the Year because that's a strict point system. But if you look at it overall, Jin Young won 5 tournaments, Nelly won 4. So Jin Young's got the leg up there. But Nelly won a major championship, the KPMG Women's PGA, and she won the Olympic gold medal. And the Olympic gold medal does not factor into the LPGA point system. So if you look at it on balance, the two of them were pretty much dead even, and that just creates an enormous amount of excitement going into 2022. We haven't really had a rivalry like that since, you know, maybe Sorenstam and Ochoa. Before that, Sorenstam and Webb, you know. So it's really something to look forward to. And as you said, very quietly, and people don't know this, there's a bunch of Americans in the top 10 in the world rankings.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, in addition to Nelly Korda, you got Danielle Kang in there. Lexi's always around. Jessica Korda's hovering just outside the top 10. So, and we're going to see somebody like Jennifer Kupcho. You know, I expect her to have a breakthrough year next year. So it's going to be as entertaining of a 2022 as it was 2021.
Fantastic. I was watching. I was thinking, actually, I was writing some notes here, and you know, we talk about the COVID situation. Really overcoming that was amazing how we handled that in the world of golf. But when I saw the 3 seconds of Tiger Woods last week, yeah. I mean, all right, there's the number one story of the year. Not only does he get into a car wreck, then, you know, the same year he comes back with his awesome swing. Sure, it was one swing repeated over and over again, but he sure looks good.
Well, you know, as one TV executive once said to me when we were discussing TV ratings, and I said, you know, Tiger moves the needle more than anybody else. He said, Tiger doesn't move the needle. Tiger is the needle. And I think that's exactly right. You know, we've seen nobody draw the attention. Going back to when he first came out there and he brought people who didn't even know golf existed into the audience of golf. So it will be interesting to see. As you said, it was only 3 seconds of him making a swing, and we still don't really know what kind of physical shape he's in. They hold that kind of Tiger camp holds those cards very, very close to the vest and don't give you any indication. But it was a positive sign that they leaked out that very short video of him swinging a golf club.
Yeah, and as soon as I saw that, I thought, oh, there goes the player impact program.
Well, that should be the player impact bonus. They should number one on that probably should be Tiger Woods, no matter what happens. Number two in that should probably be Arnold Palmer, who hasn't been with us for 5 years, you know. And then, I mean, those are the two people in my lifetime who've impacted the game of golf more than anybody else and continue to impact the game in an overwhelming way.
Yes, I was, you know, I had to watch part of the match again, another one of these charitable things. And for all the hype, it's the fact that they raised money for charity, all right? But this thing between Koepka and DeChambeau, you know, and then when I was looking at what other people were writing about the day after, it was mostly about, oh, what were the most interesting comments made by Phil Mickelson? You know, okay, so yeah, that there you go. That was to raise money for charity, and there we have it. Watching Asia Tour, LET, seeing all of these things happen, it's truly an exciting time for us. And the Asian Tour got a huge $200 million pumped into it. 10 events will be on the World Tour. I'm still trying to wrap my... is this real? The Saudi-backed tour with Greg Norman, CEO, and all this money going to the Asian tour, 10 events. It just...
I mean, certainly the money's real, and to the best of my knowledge, Greg Norman is real. What'll be interesting to see is how many players take the bait and go for it. The PGA Tour in particular has enormous leverage to throw around. One you already mentioned, the public player impact program, or whatever that bonus is.
Yeah,
that's free money that they're offering to players out there to stay on the PGA Tour. They have their deferred income plan. The PGA Tour players have the best pension plan of anybody on the planet. Literally tens of millions of dollars going to players on that. So they have a lot of weight to throw around on this. So it will be interesting to see what happens. One of the most encouraging developments for me in 2021 was the announcement that the PGA Tour and the Men's European Tour were going to have some co-sanctioned events in 2022. I hope that's a step towards those two tours doing a better job of coordinating their schedules, so that golf events aren't competing against each other. And I hope that they start to think that they need to consult the women's golf and the LPGA when coordinating schedules, because it's just a shame when we have so many big events go up against each other and force fans to pick and choose what they watch instead of focusing on just one event.
Yeah, the PIP has gone from $40 million to $50 million. For the person, is it going to one person? That one person, right, gets huge...
No, 10 people. It's
10,
it's 10 people split the pot, and it's, you know, but it's paid out in increments from number one to number... And I still don't even know exactly what the criteria is for determining that. I mean, look, you mentioned the match, and there's a part of me that's very cynical about the Brooks Koepka, Bryson DeChambeau rivalry. You know, I wonder... How much does that rivalry have to do with that the PIP bonus?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
How much of it is just sort of staged? If I can vent a little bit, I went out and I grabbed a newspaper of record today, the New York Times, because I wanted to read their Stephen Sondheim obituaries, and I noticed that they had 14 paragraphs on the match, and. They barely covered the CME Group Tour Championship. So, I mean, you're right. The match raised significant and important money for charity, but it was a contrived, made-up event. And the CME Group Tour Championship was the culminating event in women's golf. And for me, you can't, on the one hand, cry out that there should be equal pay for equal play between men and women's sports and not give them equal coverage, because that's where the money comes from. It comes from coverage, because that's what drives fans to watch the events. And I just like to think people got to do a better job of covering women's golf. Everybody's got to do a better job of covering it.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we're going to go back to women's golf in just a second. But if I may vent, if they took just a portion of the player impact program money, the $40 to $50 million, they could, give everybody, every charity in every city, or, you know, the money from there, bam. That's the part of me that goes, wait a minute. Yes, the PGA Tour does a lot for charities. They bring a lot to the towns they play in. And yes, that's great. And all the volunteers who do the work to make that possible should be... You know, their praises should be sung even louder, because.
You know, I was kidding with Tim Fincher when he was commissioner. I said, man, you've got an unbelievable business model. Not only does a typical tournament have 700 volunteers at it, you know, and you couldn't run an event without those volunteers, but your volunteers actually pay you for the right to be a volunteer. You know, they have to buy their uniforms for the week. So they end up spending like $75 each to volunteer for a tournament. And I said, man, you talk about a can't miss business model. That's it.
That's it. It's absolutely, absolutely the case. Now for the LPGA, the event of the year that, you know, in addition to the play, of course, that we've talked, was certainly Chevron picking up where the ANA could no longer. and increasing that prize to $6 million for that major tournament, that was huge. And making it for as long, what is it, a 5 or 6 year deal?
Six year deal.
Yes.
Yep. And that came on the heels of AIG and the RNA announcing a fairly similar. They increased the for the Women's British Open. They increased the purse $1.2 million for this year, and they're going to increase it another $1 million for next year. I mean, that is total prize money for the LPGA next year is going to be more than $85 million. It's
That's
about
amazing.
85.1 right now, and the U.S. Open, U.S. Women's Open, is almost certainly going to increase their purse. $85 million in a decade ago, a little over a decade ago, in 2010, the purse was $41 million. So we've gone from $41 million to $85 million in a little over a decade. That's enormous, enormous progress for women's golf. But still, they're playing for one-fifth the prize money that the PGA Tour is playing for.
Yes, but we're making progress, Ron, and we need to be thankful. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I'm thankful for you. Thank you so much for being on the show again.
Thank you for having me on, and talk to you down the road, my friend.
Absolutely. We're going to come back. We've got a wonderful man who has, I mean, this guy wears so many hats. Besides being the CEO of Island Pacific Golf Academy, he's the head coach at Kamehameha Schools, the golf team, and he does U.S. kids golf, and he's back and forth, and half the time he's helping them put on the tournaments, like part of the organizing and running of the tournament, and then he runs back and he's going to start the U.S. Kids Golf Hawaii Winter Tournament, and he's going to be, we'll get right with Oliver Oliquiano after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Oliver Oliquiano, President and CEO of Island Pacific Golf Academy, U.S. Kids Certified Top 50 U.S. Kids Golf Instructor, Coach for Kamehameha Schools Golf Team, Kapalama Campus, Titleist Performance Institute Certified, PGA Game Changer Award Recipient. Welcome into the clubhouse, Oliver.
Good morning, Danielle. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Yes, indeed. Now, you're just back from the U.S. Kids Golf Monterey Challenge. What were you doing in Monterey?
Oh, God, freezing my butt off. How's that? It was cold, but it was so fun watching the 8-year-old girls and 9-year-old boys division play their hearts out. We even had, I think, two playoff sessions. in each division, which was great and wonderful to watch. And it was just incredible.
Yeah, well, you've got U.S. Kids Golf starting on Sunday. 82 kids playing, kids 6 and under, et cetera. I mean, it goes, the list is incredible. Your winter schedule.
Yeah, it's really going to be fun. Age group starts at 5 and under, 5 through 18 now. So you can go all the way up to 18-year-olds on the U.S. Kids Golf Tour. So tomorrow we start off, we kick it off at 11:30 at Hawaii Prince Golf Course. It'll be a lot of fun for the kids, and I'm really hoping that we're going to have a lot more kids qualify for our premier event, which is going to be at Pinehurst in August next year.
How do they qualify to go to Pinehurst?
They win in the local tour, and they've got their qualifying score and the earned status. They'll get an opportunity to come out to Pinehurst and compete against the best of the best in the world.
Well, what's the qualifying score?
I believe for the younger kids, it's like 48 and 9 holes or 44 and 9 holes, and then for the older kids, at least a minimum of 84. But the tiers are pretty hard to get into. The level that the elite levels are scoring in the 70s.
Wow.
To qualify, yeah.
So Sunday is Hawaii Prince, then Eva Beach Golf Club. Where can they find all this information? Royal Kunia, Hawaii Prince, Wakale is where you wrap everything up in March.
Yeah, you can go online to uskidsgolf.com, click on the local tour, and then select Oahu. And then you'll also see a Maui tour on there. And very, very soon, we're going to see a Big Island tour. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, truly. So the Maui tour has a winter schedule, too?
The Maui tour does not have a winter schedule, probably have a spring schedule.
Okay.
I think the Renee Lee is running that tour, and she's going to be wrapping up that tour pretty soon and then probably starting one in the spring. And then we're in hopes for a spring tour coming out for the Big Island. So we're in talks about it now.
Wow. That's fantastic. Can you tell us who might be leading that?
Not yet? I think we're going to keep that on the wrap until it's actually, you will be one of the first to know.
Oh, good.
You can announce it on the radio, but I want to make sure it's finalized in contract. But yeah, we're excited about the kids on the Big Island. We were going to launch it pre-COVID, but that all happened. So we kind of just pushed it back a little bit. And we were also waiting for the right person to really show up and step forward. And I think we have identified someone on the Big Island who will help us run it and be successful with it.
Yes. Yes.
Plus, I know there's an audience out there that really want to participate in this, because some of the kids from the Big Island travel during the summer to Oahu or Maui just to play in U.S. Kids Golf to qualify to go to Pinehurst. So
wow.
This will make it a lot easier for them.
No kidding. I mean, less travel in the, at a young age is better. How old are the kids that want to travel or are traveling to, let's say, Oahu?
Yeah, we had Blake Nakagawa, who was in her 6 and under division. I think now he's in 7 and then now 8-year-old division. He's one of the best ones on the Big Island, and he comes every season and supports U.S. Kids Golf. So, and you'll see him on the Big Island all the time. He's winning left and right. So he's one of the good kids that are out there.
You mean 8 years old?
Yeah.
Wow.
8 years old.
8 years
yeah.
old, 6, 7, 8, wow. And winning out there. It's really exciting. What's really exciting is the redesign of the Prince Course driving range that, of course, includes your academy.
Yes, we were very fortunate to have partnered up with Hawaii Prince Golf Course this season. We've got a long-term contract with them that involves a lot of development of the range. New signs are out. New flagpoles are out. We just dropped slab last week. So we'll be putting beautiful mats down, and then eventually we're going to put lights up. So the range will be, now the range hours will be extended until about 10 o'clock at night. So ultimately we want to have a full facility there that includes a simulator, indoor simulators, and eventually I'm going to put TrackMan Golf out there if I can get it out there.
Wow. So yeah, TrackMan out there and indoor simulators, is this for kids only or would you let their parents in?
Oh, it's kids of all ages.
Oh.
From three to 83. How's that?
I like that because we are all kids. So you have a terrific group working with you. Mark Huffman, Titleist Performance Institute certified too, and U.S. Kids Golf certified, and assistant coach for Kamehameha Schools, and Don Wilburn, PGA, Aloha Section Long Drive Contest winner 14 times.
Yeah, you know, you have to surround yourself with people sometimes that are smarter than you, and that's what I'm trying to do, is just find people who've got a lot of experience and have the heart to help me grow the game and grow it through either the academy or through U.S. Kids Golf. And, you know, these guys are very passionate about what they do. You know, Mark and his affiliation with Honma has brought Honma in, and we're looking to grow Honma as well at Hawaii Prince. So that's a really good quality brand coming in from Japan. And Don and his long, you know, long-time tenure here with the PGA and his track record for being a really good instructor is really beneficial to us.
Yeah. I mean, now that long drive has become so dominant, how do you get the kids to practice their short game? Some people say you should start kids on the green and work your way back, and yet kids all want to hit it as far, hit it hard and hit it far.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're a kid to watch it go far. So I think a lot of people, not just kids, but even adults, the first thing they want to do is grab the driver and just, you know,
smash it
really long. Yeah, smash it. But realistically, the moneymaker is in the short game, right? So putting and chipping, it's always an emphasis for me when it comes to my lesson plans. Is just do a lot of putting and chipping, you'll see your scores drop from it quickly. But yeah, getting them on the course is always the other thing, too. So we have a lot of avenues for that, making sure that kids get from practice to the course so they can actually start to experience real life situations with their golf game.
Yeah. That's why the winter schedule that you've put together is so important for them to actually go on the course and work in tournament conditions where you can't practice during the round of golf. You've got to, every shot counts. And that's when discipline really comes into play when you're playing the game. So you talk about the driving range. You're going to have lights so we can play, we can like go out at night?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, the driving range will be lit up at night so we can stay there and practice a little bit later. And not in the harsh sun as much, give an opportunity for some of those that work late or get out of work, let's say 5 or 6, to come out to the range and still practice and work on their game. So you know, I think it'll bring in a lot more people in the evening.
Yes.
So.
And it'll be good. When you say, is it going to be covered?
Eventually it will be. That's my plan, is to cover the area so that it's also protected during the day.
Right.
And then we're protected from the elements in case it rains.
Right. This is really exciting. You know, Oliver, you have these great goals. Who do you thank the most for helping you achieve those goals?
Well, first and foremost, I got to thank the Lord. I mean, I pray every day that he helps me and guides me through making good decisions, but I also am very thankful to my wife. You know, for every good man, there's always some woman behind him, standing behind him, mostly rolling her eyes. But but she's out there. She's supporting me through all the chaos and all the things that I do. And she really believes in me. And it's great. It's a great marriage. I mean, we've supported each other in things that we both do. But this is something I'm very passionate about and growing. So I thank her, secondly, and then my family. I mean, they all support me in all things that I do. So, I mean, I'm grateful for a lot of things. But those are the main things, I think, that really support me and keep me uplifted.
Yes, and you have friends around the world who are keeping you uplifted as well. Claude Brousseau will be coming out for doing a little teaching, a little demonstration. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so in January when we do the launch for the Hawaii Prince Golf Course driving range, we're going to have some guest speakers or guests. We do have a VIP event. It's kind of just for the VIPs, and I've got Scott Simpson coming out. He's going to help us and just do a little, show and tell, and maybe do a little clinic for some VIP guests during that event. But then also Claude's coming out to do an aim-point presentation as well for the public event, and that's going to be open to the public to sign up and register. I'll provide that information when I can. But
yeah,
Claude's awesome. He's awesome to work with. I worked with him for how many years, and we've done aim-point classes together, and they're a lot of fun, and he's incredibly entertaining.
Yes, he is. He's one of the most, you know, all his background is so varied, you know. At one point he was a nurse, you know, so he truly, you know, he has such an interesting background that it gives him a way of relating to people in, I don't know, he's just really wonderful. And
yeah, and he comes up with these great ways to relate to you, how to in teaching golf. You know, he uses surfing analogies. He uses boating analogies. He uses bowling analogies. It's all these different things to teach people how to play golf. And to me, I mean, that's really why he's a PGA Master Professional, because he's able to communicate or simplify the golf swing to someone who doesn't play golf. And I think once you get to that level, you would, you know, deemed to be a master professional.
Yeah.
So my hat's off to him. He's truly, truly awesome and a great friend to have.
Yeah, and it's great to see Honma with a nice home, permanent home. That's great. Oliver Oluquiano, I hope we'll be talking again before maybe, you know, to where we can actually talk about the public event.
Yes.
Yes,
we will.
Yes.
We will. We will.
Good.
Once
good.
I get all the information down and solidified, I'll share that information with you.
Because, you know, time flies when you're having fun. Oliver Oluquiano is president and CEO of Island Pacific Golf Academy. Just go islandpacificgolf.com. Bing. U.S. Kids certified top 50 U.S. kids golf instructor and coach for Kamehameha Schools golf team and Titleist Performance Institute certified. And PGA Game Changer Award recipient. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Danielle. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, indeed. We'll talk soon. Aloha.
Thanks. Aloha.
We've got Lauren Yama, Director of Communications, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, because the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions is coming up next week. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Iwilei. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Iwilei parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Iwilei.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Okay, I opened the show so quickly this morning. I didn't tell you what the forecast was going to be like. It's going to be mostly sunny in the morning and partly cloudy, isolated showers in the afternoon. The winds are variable, and that 215, if we're lucky. The high today is going to be 87 degrees, and then tonight we're going to have mostly cloudy skies on the windward side, clear to partly cloudy on the leeward side, low about 72, 67 if you live up in the heights, and The high tomorrow will be 86 degrees. The trade winds are back. Excuse me. I get very excited. 10 to 15 miles per hour. That will be wonderful. We've got some tea times for you. It's 57 degrees in Volcano. And I keep checking on that because we would really like Volcano Golf Course to reopen. Makalei has an 850 on Hawaii Island. I don't know why. Big Island. 1010, too. So that's Makalei, and they're upcountry, so it will be cool, and it is such a different golf course. It's really nice. Poipu Bay, another really nice golf course. They have some new selections in the pro shop. They have a 920, a 1010, and a 1020. And Pearl Country Club on Oahu is sold out. You really have to get your tee times in real fast. But Roa Hawaiian, a beautiful golf course on the windward side, 836, 908, 1030. Bayview, also on the windward side, has a 1036. Makaha East, 830 to 903. And that's the only time they've got open in that period. Wailea on the gold course, there's an 1120. The emerald course, there's a 120. And, of course, the Emerald Course, I believe, is where the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions is going to be played, Wailea being so wonderful. I also want to remind you that starting Wednesday, the new automated tee time reservation system begins accepting online tee time reservations 7 days in advance for the Alawai Golf Course. This is the third and final phase of the City and County of Honolulu's Golf Division's Tee Time Reservation System upgrade, which will allow golfers to book a tee time online at any of its six municipal golf courses. Of course, only golfers with a valid City and County of Honolulu Golf ID card will be allowed to make that online tee time reservation 7 days in advance. So go to the golf course closest to you to make that reservation. We're going to come back soon with Lauren Yama.
Does your golf swing have a hitch in it? Want to learn the finer points to play better? Get the fun back in your game with coaching by Master PGA Teaching Professional Claude Brousseau, Director of Instruction at Wailea Golf Academy, a Golf Channel Academy. Claude, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, will simplify your game. Scratch golfer or just beginner, you will improve immediately and get fast results. Call Claude at 808-856-9458 or email cbrousseau@waileagolf.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-856-9458. And have fun counting your birdies.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Lauren Yama, Director of Communications, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, a 501c3 nonprofit organization, introducing the game of golf and its traditions to the youth of Hawaii. HSJGA develops life skills through fun, affordable, competitive programs that educate, motivate, inspire, and you can add First Tee to Hawaii State Junior Golf Association /First Tee of Hawaii. Welcome into the clubhouse, Lauren.
Good morning, Danielle.
One of the things that they can become inspired to achieve is being one of the players in the 2021 Michelle Wee HSJGA Tournament of Champions. Yes, fantastic.
That's correct. Yeah.
And it's coming up next weekend. Tell us about it. How did it come about?
So the Tournament of Champions has been, I think, one of our longest standing tournaments. It's a tournament where juniors compete throughout the year in events that we put on, and then if they win first place in their division, they're invited to the Tournament of Champions. Michelle Wee became the sponsor, I want to say, maybe 5 years ago, and so she picked it up, and then that kind of regenerated a lot more excitement to qualify for Tournament of Champions. So it's something really special that the kids look forward to at the end of the season, and they try really hard throughout the year to compete and qualify.
It's wonderful. I remember seeing Michelle at one of the banquets after the Tournament of Champions or before the Tournament of Champions was played. I think it was before.
And that was first year. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And
watching their eyes and smiles and just, you know, leaning forward in their chairs, listening to Michelle was wonderful. So inspiring.
Very inspiring. Yeah, when you see when they see her in person, it's such a different story because she's so beautiful and she's just Michelle Wee, you know, somebody that they really look up to. So we were very honored that she's a sponsor and she's attended the event a few years in person.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 2021 Michelle Wee HSJGA Tournament of Champions, a 36-hole stroke play invitational because you have to be a champion just like the Century Tournament of Champions. This is for our junior players up to the age of 17.
That's correct.
Yeah. So this is great. And every year that I have been covering it, it's been at the Wailea Golf Course, is the on the Emerald Course. Is it still on the Emerald?
It's still on the Emerald, yes. And Wailea has been so generous to us for so long. They've hosted this event for almost 20 years now, on top of some other events that we've done. And they're just really great to junior golf and to the HSJGA.
They really are. They're wonderful. I love one of the notes that were, it was about, you know, what you can do as a player during practice rounds for the Michelle Wee Tournament of Champions. During practice rounds for any HSJGA tournament, juniors may play one ball only and may not practice chipping or putting when there are players waiting. The proper place to practice your golf swing is on the driving range, hitting multiple shots on the course. Not filling divots, not repairing ball marks are unacceptable and may cause removal from the tournament without a refund. I think that notice should be put up on all golf courses.
We try to teach them what's right and, you know, having respect for other players and for the public players too, because the course has, you know, it's open to the public. So we just want to make sure that we are nice to the golf course and nice to the other people that are playing around us.
Yeah, yeah. And as I mentioned in the beginning, First Tee of Hawaii is now under the HSJGA umbrella. And this is where I think it's a natural relationship, since First Tee really is the beginning. When you've got a child never, you know, picked up a club, that's fine. It's a place to really get to learn about a golf course, would you say?
It's the place that they learn the beginning stages of golf. And not only golf, they teach nine core values of just life skills. So it's a place where kids can come together and be around each other. And especially during COVID, you know, golf was the one sport maybe that we could actually continue. So we're very fortunate. And First Tee encourages that social interaction and golf development skills along with mental skills. And then they just feed up through the program, and their goal is to eventually play in an HSJGA tournament in that competitive market. So yeah, it really is hand in hand, like you said.
Yeah. Yeah. And there are First Tee of Hawaii tournaments. So the kids kind of not only get to have, as you said, it's a huge social interaction, watching the kids meet each other and get to know each other and then play on the golf course. They really love it. So if you know any kids, First Tee of Hawaii on Oahu, it's at the Alawai Driving Range, Bayview Golf Course, Hawakalei Country Club, Royal Kunia Country Club, on Maui Dunes at Maui Lani, on Kauai Puakea Golf Club, on Hawaii Island Naniloa Golf Club. Lauren Yama, thank you so much for taking a time out of your Saturday morning for being on the golf show. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. You too. Aloha. Aloha. Lauren Yama, Director of Communications, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Okay, I've got something really cool coming up for you. Dr. Brian Paxton, PT, DPT, physical therapist, manual spine therapist. He's the owner of Restoration Spine and Sport, Restoration Golf, Titleist Performance Institute, Innovative Manual Therapy, Performance Therapy. So I'm really interested in hearing what he has to say about how we can stay in golf fitness, golf fit, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Aloha, this is Harris English, your defending champion at the Century Tournament of Champions. This year, the tournament invites you and your Ohana to celebrate the community on Saturday, January 8th, as part of our Ohana Day, presented by Southwest Airlines. This interactive day will feature fun for the whole family, including food trucks, special ticket packages, keiki activities, and more. Purchase your tickets today at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
Whatever your trade, you need more customers. Filling your restaurants, buying your cars, renovating high-rises, using your realty company, buying insurance from you, putting air conditioning in their offices. You need customers. Get them by advertising on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have great quality listeners like yourself with ad packages that start at just a few hundred dollars. Call Rick at 808-220-1000 or email him. Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. That's Rick@RadioGolfClub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
You know, the Ko'olina holiday sale was such a huge, success this year. And thank you both. You know, thank everybody for being on the show, on the air, and helping spread the word about Ko'olina sale. You are so very welcome, everybody at Ko'olina. You've done a fabulous job. And as we told everybody listening, they were able to get to the sale after making their their shop time, or they could wait. Walk-ins were welcome. Everybody was told if they heard about it on the golf club, all they had to do is say something, and they could, you know, fill out a form and say, I want to win a foursome at Ko'olina. I want to take myself and three of my friends and play for free at Ko'olina. So they've drawn the winner at Ko'olina. And Sai Kailua, you know, congratulations, Sai. You are the winner, and that's fantastic. I'm so excited for you to have won. Thank you for listening. We have a divot repair tool and club head cleaner. This is, of course, from Divx that we want you to have. And Divx does such a great, it's like a Divx. It's not really, it's a pitch fix, excuse me. I'm really hoping that Dr. Brian Paxton calls in. So I temporarily lost my mind. Pitch Fix Fusion 2.5 was named the best divot repair tool 3 years in a row, possibly more. It's Pitch Fix, the global market leader in switchblade divot tools. So they had the 2.5 named the best divot repair tool, and that will be something for you to win, just like our wonderful Eugene of Kaneshiro. I haven't been able to mention that Eugene won. Eugene of of Honolulu, your prize is in the mail, so it's going to get you just as soon as they get it to you. I can't wait. So that's going to be your prize, too. If you are the ninth caller, and the number is 808-545-1111. That's 808-545-1111.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
We're still waiting for the doctor to come into the clubhouse and give us an idea about his cutting-edge manual therapy and performance therapy. His name is Dr. Brian Paxton, PT and DPT. I've never met him. He talks about golf and spine and golfing and golf fitness and spine health and all of those things. Boy, they certainly touched my, you know, spine. I wanted to know what the Dutch manual spine therapy, or BORS, was. The fascial manipulation has become quite the rage, and it's very important. We don't give enough attention to the fascia. The dynamic neuromuscular stabilization, the Postural Restoration Institute, and of course, he's TPI Medical, Titleist Performance Institute. And I just was curious about what he could do. Former NFL center Rudy Niswanger, Kansas City Chiefs, he actually flies from Los Angeles to Florida to have Dr. Paxton take care of him and get the pain out, which is something that we would all like to have done for us. The first step is in this treatment that he has is identifying the cause, of course, and then going deeper, as he says, to underlying dysfunctional situations, like maybe your posture. I'm speaking for myself, about myself. maybe your posture isn't that good, and you're not strengthening your core as much as you should. All of these things are factors in some pain that you may be experiencing. So I was really looking forward to having him on the air. I'm not sure that he's going to be there. We hope he calls in. I think we're going to have to get Robert Ray, the president of Pacific Western Services, the author of Darkness and the Light of Day. It's not a golf story, but this is the Thanksgiving weekend show. And I thought stories about thanks, you know, giving thanks would be very appropriate for this weekend. So the story about Robert is a story of survival, for which one could be, should be, would be very thankful. He's written a book about it, and I don't want to give anything away until he gets on with us. So we're going to just have to see if we can get in touch with Robert and maybe move Dr. Paxton, if he gives us a call, into that slot. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. Nani, could we take a real quick break here while we get everything in order, see if we can get Dr. Paxton again, and certainly Robert Ray, Bob Ray, on the phone. He's the president of Pacific Western Services, but boy, does he have a story that just I could relate to completely. So we'll be back with him, hopefully, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor, insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Aloha, this is PGA Tour winner and major champion Colin Morikawa. Join me and the best players in the world at the 2022 Century Tournament of Champions, January 5th through 9th at the Plantation Course at Kapalua. Don't miss Maui's premier event, which is fun for the whole family. This year, Hawaii residents can get a special Kama'aina ticket presented by Southwest Airlines. These ticket packages and more are available at CenturyTournamentOfChampions.com.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club radio show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that? Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Bob Ray, president of Pacific Western Services, author of Darkness in the Light of Day. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Thank you, Danielle. Nice to be here.
It's good to have you. Now, as I mentioned, this isn't a golf story. This is a story of survival. And I have to preface all of this by saying, when I first met Bob, and actually we met on LinkedIn, when we first met, I was looking over this book that he had written because, you know, president of Pacific Western Services and author kind of didn't. And so I'm reading and I thought, my goodness, this is incredible, because when I left Vancouver and came out of the Straits of Vancouver into the Pacific Ocean, after having a very gentle journey up the West Coast, we hit 30-foot swells that were taking this gigantic ship side to side. One side we saw the sky, and then we saw the ocean on the other, and then just a couple of seconds later, it seemed. It was, you know, we as younger people kind of got very acclimated to the situation and frankly took over the entire ship. Well, people who were not so comfortable stayed in their cabins. So when I heard, I was on this gigantic 40,000-ton vessel with stabilizers and all the accoutrements that come with these big ships. I wasn't afraid that I was going to sink. But, man, this is an incredible story of survival. And as I was reading, when disaster strikes, every second matters. As a young maritime professional in the 1980s, Bob Ray was always on the lookout for an opportunity. Now, from that introduction, which I found online at Amazon, you can find his book. The name of his book is Darkness in the Light of Day. Tell us the prelude to where you found yourself later.
Well, you know, I had always liked working on the ocean, working on the sea, and coming from Seattle, Washington, as a younger man, I started out as a mechanic, and then I went to school for marine mechanics, and eventually they would assign various boats to various mechanics, and every time that boat came in, you'd work on it. So you got to know their equipment, you got to know the people that own the boats, those kinds of things. So I was assigned to a company called Pacific Western Lines, who in fact owned several tugboats, and I would work on them every time they came in for different things, water pumps or engine rebuilds or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they asked me one time if I'd like to work for them. They bought a boat in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and they would like to refit it. It's been over there doing ship assist. And if I'd like to start working for them as an oiler, and then I could help them fix the boat, and I could also go out to Florida, of course, living in Seattle. Wow, Florida, that sounds pretty good to me. So anyway, that's how my career started. And my very first trip on a tugboat was from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, through the Panama Canal, wow, into San Diego, for fuel out to Honolulu to deliver a dry dock gate that we'd been towing, and then back to Seattle again. And so that was my first experiences of out in the ocean open for any length of time. I think we went 9,000 plus miles on that one trip alone.
I bet. Now, you know, you told your wife something confidently about...
Yes.
Tell us what you tell us what you told your spouse.
Well, when we always have discussed, you know, any of things that are important that affects us both together. And so I had worked on a lot of fishing boats and crab boats and those kinds of things. And they're not, I'm not saying that they're not safety conscious, but their main focus is money, getting as much as they can on board the boat, earning as much And when it came to the tugboat, you know, I told her I was interested in, and it's a good pay. I could make some good money here, but also it's a good job that lasts a long time. And I said, you don't have to worry. Tugboats don't sink. That's fishing boats and crab boats. They sink, but tugboats, they don't sink. And she still reminds me of that to this day. The tugboats don't sink except when they do.
And she reminds you to this day. Oh, we gals, we're really something, aren't we? Okay, so you've made it to the Panama Canal, which is, if you ever get a chance to do the Panama Canal, it's an incredible experience. And you've gone to Honolulu, and now you're heading up to Seattle. This is your first time on the open ocean.
Yes.
And this is when disaster strikes?
No. This is just my first time at sea. I worked for the Pacific Western Lines then, and I believe that was right after Caterpillar. So that would have been in about 1979 or 80, okay. Right around in there.
Okay.
I was working for them as an oiler, and then I worked my way up to engineer, and then chief engineer. And they were, anyway, the guy that I had sailed with on that one boat around through the Panama Canal had went on the Tug Eagle. And I was working on the Tug Raven at the time. He is coming back to the boat. It's icy. He falls off the ladder, and they're 40-foot tides there. Hits his head on the side of the barge and then falls into the water. Oh. They didn't know that until the following morning when they saw blood and some hair on the side of the barge. And so, anyway, long story short, they called and asked if I would like to move from the Raven onto the Tug Eagle. And so then that's when my work started on the Eagle, and our regular run was from Seattle to Anchorage and back, and we would usually tow two barges that were usually over 300 feet long, 7,000 tons of cargo carried on them. And the last trip that the Tug Eagle made, we were coming back from Anchorage, Alaska, heading to Seattle. We went into Prince William Sound to be able to get out of the storm because it was storm warning there. And when that happens, you go into protected water there, and we were going kind of around in circles towing these two barges because you can't just stop. You know, you have to be able to keep moving so the barges don't run into each other, et cetera. So anyway, that's what we were doing. And then when we got the okay to leave, because the winds and the weather was calming down, that's when we pulled out of Prince William Sound and headed out across the Gulf of Alaska, trying to get into Cape Spencer, which is about a two-day jaunt from Cape Elizabeth, and which is at the mouth of Cook Inlet, to Cape Spencer, which is the inlet going into the inside passage. And it's calm waters in there, and you just have a few ocean crossings, but it's relatively minor compared to trying to transit the Gulf of Alaska in bad weather.
Right.
So anyway, that's where we were heading.
All right. That was the idea.
That was the idea. That's correct.
Okay. So, take us through what, you know, I mean, at this point, one of the reviewers said, fantastic. This book kept my interest from start to finishing. A harrowing tale of one man's fight to survive, I highly recommend. Another wrote, great read, very well written, certainly brought back a lot of memories. I was part of the Coast Guard helicopter crew. That's from Ken. So I don't want to say anything more about Ken because it'll take your story. What happened?
So when we came out of Prince William Sound, heading south towards Seattle, we got into the Gulf, and it was still rough. We were probably in 25-foot seas and probably around 30-mile-an-hour winds.
Whoa.
So we couldn't really pull on the barges as much as we'd like to make better speed, just because it's too rough, and you could eventually just break the cable that is attached from the tug to the barge. So we went out slowly, and then as the weather started to lay down, we whipped the horses there and got them pulling a little harder until we were back up to full speed. And full speed for us was this is a 130-foot tugboat that carries 110,000 gallons of fuel. We burn 4,200 gallons a day, and it's 5,400 horsepower. So this thing could pull the chrome off a trailer hitch once you get going here. And so that's what we were trying to do is, because we knew there was another storm. That's how it usually goes in October. They just come one after the other. So we were trying to beat it in, get inside before the storm hit us. And on the 27th of October, 1983, we didn't make it in. The storm hit early, about 12 hours. We were off of Cape St. Elias, about 65 miles offshore. When I went to bed that day, because my watch was from 6 in the morning until noon, and then I'd have from noon until 6 in the evening off, and I'd come back onto work from 6 in the evening until midnight. So I was off watch. When I went to bed to rest at about 12 o'clock or so, we had probably 40 mile an hour, 40 foot seas, and 50 knot winds. And I woke up at 2 o'clock, roughly in the afternoon, to my cabinets flying open, everything in the cabinets, throwing up against the door. I feel a wave hit the tug, and the tug heels to the starboard side, the right side. It tries to make itself right again, and then another wave hits it again, and then it heels over to the starboard side, and then the tug starts to shake like it's trying to pull, and it can't, and we're laying over about 45 degrees or so. So by that time, I'm out of my bunk. I go to the door. I'm only wearing pajamas because I'm off watch. I go to the door, and all the junk that's coming out of my cabinets is up against the door. The door opens to the inside. I can't get out. So I got to throw all that stuff out. I grab my survival suit, which is positioned over the top of my bunk, in a case. I pull it out. I open up the door, but of course, when I get it open so far, I fall, and I fall against the captain's door, which is directly across from mine. We didn't close our doors when we were off watch. We always put them open, so if you needed the captain or you needed myself as chief engineer, you could look inside the room and see if we were in there or not. But he closed his door for whatever. If he would have left it open, I would have fell right across through the hallway into his room, and then I would have had to try to climb out of the vessel, heeling over to that side anyway. But it was closed, so I walked on the bulkhead, went up the stairs, hanging on to the guardrail, and then climbed on my hands and knees across the pilot house, leaned up against the chart table, and put the suit on, my survival suit on. I got out of the room, and by the time I got out, the captain was out on the port side, along with the second mate, and one AB. The captain said that we were going down, of course, and it was pretty obvious then, by the time I could be out, the only thing that was sticking out of the water was the starboard exhaust pipe.
Whoa.
And water was coming in pretty quickly. I told the Coast Guard that I thought it took between 10 to 15 minutes for me to come out of my room, do all of that, climbing on the bulkheads, getting up to the wheelhouse, across the wheelhouse, putting on my suit on by the chart table, about 10 to 15 minutes and stepping outside. They took me to Louisiana, where the sister ship was of the Eagle, and they timed me to see how long it actually took. And I thought it took a little bit longer when they timed me, and it was 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
Whoa!
Everything is going on really quickly when stuff like this happens, but you don't realize it. It's kind of in slow motion, sort of. And by the time I got outside, the only thing that was really sticking up was the port side where we were on. And the captain, mate, and the AB, when the vessel started to go down completely, jumped towards the bow, towards the front end of the tug, into the water. And I jumped back aft and had a hold of the life raft. The life raft was still attached to the tugboat. And what it has is a hydrostatic release on it. So after the tug sinks so far into the water, the pressure created from that will release this hydrostatic release, and then the raft will float by itself. Well, I had a hold of the raft, but it wasn't breaking free. And I thought, well, if it doesn't break free and this thing starts to sink, and I try to get in there, I'm going to be trapped inside there, and then I'm going to have to figure out how to get out. So I let that thing go. I found a one-inch poly line, yellow poly line with a four-foot eye on it, stuck it over my head, and then let it go. And eventually the tug did sink. The hydrostatic did release like it's supposed to, but it has a dome on it, you know, and with the wind so strong and the waves so strong, it blew away from me before I had a chance to get it or to get in it. And then for the next 4 hours approximately, from about 2 o'clock in the afternoon until just before dark, which was about 6 o'clock at night, I was in the water fighting these 50-foot seas and 70-mile-an-hour winds, just trying to stay afloat in this survival suit. And at the time, I had a beard, and so every time I would be submerged underneath the water, because sometimes I would go up the side of the wave, uh-huh. and at the top of the wave is the sea, which is where the wind knocks the tops off of the wave. And I would get up there, and as I got closer, I could hear it, and then it would hit me in the back of my head. It would take the high rider ring that goes underneath your suit, shoves it over my eyes because it wasn't secured in the back, and then I would go underneath the water. I would pop back up, and I would pull this thing back up over my head, and there was a flap that was in front of my face that I would pull down so I could breathe, get my feet in line again, and I used them as rudders to go back up the wave and do it again. Sometimes I would go up and then bust through and go back down in reverse, and then other times I would go up, it would knock me over, roll me right back down the same wave. I would go in the trough, pop up, get ready to do it again. And I did that for 4 hours until the Coast Guard picked me up. But I didn't know. I heard the Mayday being given at the time, but I didn't know that anybody had heard the Mayday. So what I was doing was just doing my best to survive, hoping that somebody had heard that. And for me, it went by fairly quickly because I was pretty busy that whole time.
I'm sorry. Yes, you were very busy. My God.
I was very busy.
What were you, the thoughts running through your mind. This, you said 2 minutes felt like 15. This must have felt like longer than 4 hours.
It didn't.
Oh.
It didn't. And the reason that it didn't is just from being, you know, I was only 32 years old at the time when the tugboat sank. I was probably the youngest guy on board. But I was also in pretty good shape. And the seas were so strong and the wind was so strong. And then you match that with the water being, you know, frigid waters. The water was probably around 40-ish. God. And especially coming in the suit had purge valves in the bottom by the feet. So the water would come in and it would allow so much water to drain out, but not all of it. And so I was constantly having water about to my knees or a little bit below my knees. So I was cold from all that water, but I was still able to survive. And of course, the very first thing I did when I jumped off that boat towards the life raft is I started praying. I started praying right off the bat. I started asking God for his help and please, I could really use your help here, and it worked because I'm still here to talk to you.
Yes, yes. Were you already a faithful person? I mean, did you?
Yes. I'm a good Catholic boy. From my father was Irish, my mother was Italian, so you can figure. You're a good Catholic boy, whether you like it or not.
Yeah,
And so, yes, and it's still him to this day. But yes, I had faith in God. And if we got to Anchorage on a weekend, you know, I would go to Mass in Anchorage. You know, I'd take a cab there and take a cab back. But we didn't always get there. But when I came home, of course, I did with my family and my kid, all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yes, I've always had faith in God, and I've always believed that He would protect me no matter what. And you know, God chooses who He gives His mercy to. And October 27th was my day.
I should say. So the 4 hours went fast because you were in survival mode. You were just doing everything you can to keep your head up, get air, keep the water out as much as possible, and stay afloat.
That's exactly right. And at 65 miles offshore, you don't see anything. You don't see any land or plus it's raining so hard. And the reason that the book is Darkness in the Light of Day, I mean, it was dark. It was getting dark, almost like it was evening time when I first jumped in the water. I couldn't believe how dark it really was that particular day. And I would come up to the top of the wave, and I could see the other tops, but it wouldn't be very long. And then I would go back down again and then go back up. And at first, when I first got in the water, I could see the barges, the two barges, because the tow line was still attached to the two barges. So the tug acted as an anchor to the two barges. So they stood, you know, relatively in the same position. And I kept getting closer, thinking, well, maybe I could get onto one of these barges.
Yeah.
No way. Not in that kind of, it would have just beat me to death there. So I come up on one of the waves, and then I see the helicopter.
Oh.
It's a ways away, and I'm trying to kind of get a fix on it. And then, you know, down I go again and all that. And I come up another couple of waves, and then I see it again. So then I know that they're looking for me, or they're looking for us. And then pretty soon I come up, and they're like within eye shot, and I can see the pilot and the co-pilot in the actual helicopter.
Wow.
And I could see it raise up and start to come towards me. And they had the captain and the crewman saw me both at the same time. Ken, who wrote this, and I didn't know he wrote that until like maybe 2 weeks ago. I happened to be looking at the site on my Kindle for Kindle, some of the books, because the book is sold on that, and his name was on there, and I read it. Well, Ken was the corpsman, and he was the one that ran the winch that lowered the basket. And so what they had is they had a 50-foot line with a basket attached to the bottom of that, and the waves were breaking on their wheels as they were hovering above me to get into the basket.
Oh, my goodness.
For me to get into the basket. The first two times it was so violently rough I could not get in the basket, just because if I even got close to the basket, and it's a heavy aluminum basket, it would have just beat me up pretty bad. But the third time I was in the trough, very bottom of the wave, and the basket came right to where I was at, and it just stopped. It just stopped right in front of me. And it was almost like, okay, Pop, here you go. You better get in the basket. You better do something. I can't hold it here forever. I grabbed a hold of the outside of the basket. I never did get into the inside because it was too rough. I held on to the outside of the basket, and they pulled me up after 4 hours of fun and games.
Uh-huh.
Pulled me up, and when I got close enough where I could see the corpsman, he was trapped between the wire and the helicopter. So another corpsman had to come out, push the wire out of the way so he could get out from behind it. And then he pushed the button again. I got up to the very top, and then they pulled me in, hanging onto the outside of the basket.
Wow. I mean, that is absolutely I'm thinking to myself, what were your thoughts? What did you say to them when you're in? But then at the same time, I'm thinking that's ridiculous. And it's just, I don't know. Tell me.
Well, they pulled me inside. They wanted to know who I was, of course, what I did. So I told them, I'm Robert Ray. I'm Tug Eagle. and I was chief engineer on there. And while he's asking me these questions, if he can do anything for me, get me a dry survival suit, he's throwing up in a cardboard box because he's airsick.
Oh.
Because it's so rough in the helicopter.
Oh, God. Wow.
He's just, this thing is bouncing over like a kite in a hurricane. It's just, it's unbelievably rough. And the helicopter is jumping all over the place, and they're trying to get me up high enough to where we're above the shear line and where the wind and the sea are hitting right into the helicopter, and eventually that's what they do. And then we searched for probably until it was completely dark where we couldn't see anything hardly at all. And it looked like a whiteout. It looked like snow blowing across, but it was the waves and the foam blowing off the top of the waves. But from the air, it looked like it was snowing out there. It was, so they had to get low enough to be able to see. So they had to ride that helicopter in that rough area where the wind and the shear was coming off of the top of the waves. And we did that for, I think, probably another 40 minutes or so until we couldn't see anything else. And then they took me into Yakutat. And the papers reported that they treated me for hypothermia. But what it was is they took me into the package room in the bar, and I sat on some boxes, and whiskey boxes, and they gave me hot chocolate. That was my treatment for hypothermia.
Oh, my word. Obviously, we have to read the book because I've been, I am overwhelmed with gratitude to that every Coast Guard helicopter crew that goes out and puts themselves in harm's way to, and potentially death, to rescue people who find themselves in harm's way. I thank you so much for sharing your story. The name of this book that you really must get is Darkness in the Light of Day. One person said, my family and I enjoyed the book. What a story he had to tell, and it was written very well. It kept your interest all the way through. Highly recommend this novel. He called it a novel. You know, I'm thinking, no, this is real life. And another person said, one of the best books I've read in a long time. I felt like I was sitting across the table from the author, and he was telling what happened in his life, talking to an old friend. Very well done book. I can hardly wait to read it again. Bob Ray, President, Pacific Western Services, author of Darkness in the Light. It's Darkness in the Light. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Danielle, helping me tell my story. And if we can just get the word out to other people that if you don't put the suit on from the get-go, you have absolutely no chance.
No.
Absolutely. That water, you're lucky if you can survive 8 to 10 minutes in it when it's that cold. So if we can save one person, well, I've continued to do my job here.
Excellent. Put the survival suit on. I need to thank our sponsors, Bob. Thank you for being on the show. Here comes the Sony Open. PGA Tour stars are hitting Wailea January 10 to the 16, and you need to be a volunteer. SonyOpenInHawaii.com. That's where you sign up. Jump on the Sony Open wave of aloha for Hawaii charities. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters. You need help from MD Restoration at any time of the day, right away. If disaster strikes, call 528-3434. Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. Beautify your home. Protect your home from the elements. Rainer Door. Century Tournament of Champions, continuing to work closely with the PGA Tour, local and state governments, leading health officials to deliver a successful tournament in safe and healthy conditions to Maui. So we're really looking forward to our tournaments. And thank you, Aloha Power Equipment. Sand Island Store is open. It is beautiful at Alakava. Go in. It is truly a mega store. That's Aloha Power Equipment. Thank you so much for your mana. Thank you. May you hit the sweet spot every day or every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.